Hello, everyone, and welcome back.
Hi, you guys. I don't know why I'm giggling already.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back to yet another episode of Mutants, Jedis, or Mutant Slayers and Jedi. Oh, my God, I fucked it up.
Mutant Slayers and Jedi.
Oh my. Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. So this week we are going to be talking about an awesome movie.
Very excited.
We're going to be talking about Black Panther.
Black Panther, you guys. This movie. I had a lot of feelings about this movie, and then most of them, a lot of them, were very, very good.
This is such a good freaking movie, you guys. It has blown up in the box office.
And, of course.
Yeah, which, of course, because it is so well done. Amazing story, amazing acting. Totally nerding out because when they introduced T'Challa in Civil War, I was like, yes, about this character. He's freaking badass. Like, he had such an amazing introduction in Civil War. One of my my favorite moment in Civil War is with his character when Hawkeye shows up and he's like, oh, I'm Hawkeye. And he just says, I don't care.
Because who does?
I mean, it's
oh,
like,
Hawkeye.
I mean,
oh, Hawkeye. Part of Civil War. But I mean, yes, that part's amazing. But one of my other favorite parts is when one of his bodyguards of the Dora Milaje, and we will talk about them.
Oh.
Is this part, I think it's like, he says it's the Black Widow.
Yeah, it's the Black Widow.
But she. She goes, move or be moved. And I was like, oh, I was like, this is amazing.
That was probably one of my other favorite parts of Civil War was you see these fabulous, strong, amazing women. And I'm not going to lie, because when Black Widow was standing there and trying to sass her, I was like, Black Widow, shut up. Black Widow, shut up.
I love you, Black Widow, but no, honey.
No. Because I love it because in that brief moment, we saw this confidence and strength. Just from this one line, and I love that so much. And that's what I think is so amazing, that from these brief interactions, that alone is like, oh, I can't wait to see this solo film. Yes.
And it delivered in a big way. Mm-hmm. So I think, okay, so let's start. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was pretty fucking good.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good. We've established this. Okay, good. And also, first and foremost, before we continue into our discussion of this movie, I was talking about this movie with Diane, you know, Diane, as you all know from the Defective Geeks podcast. She said to me jokingly, but it's true. And something, you know, that constantly needs to be recognized is we are both colonizer status use this movie's vernacular. We are both colonizer status. So we are talking about this movie from the perspective of colonizer status, but also simultaneously recognizing that this movie is not for us. Right. It's a great story that we both enjoyed, but it is not for us. And it's important to make that distinction. We still enjoy it. We still support it. But we want to recognize that this is a narrative not meant for us. And that's great.
And not everything should be. And for a long time, everything was. So
exactly. Yeah, and even still, majority of movies are pretty much for us.
Yeah.
Us, the colonizer.
I've been saying this for a long time. I don't need to see another straight white dude as a superhero.
Yeah, and also we have more female powerful protagonists, but gotta be honest, they're all white chicks, and we gotta change that. So it's really great and important to see a movie that isn't for us. And that's fabulous.
I mean, there are so many great Black people analyzing this story and talking about it. Mm-hmm. Follow them all on Twitter. Brittany Packnett, everybody from Keep It, which is from Crooked Media, which is a great freaking chain of podcasts. Anyway, everyone should listen to because it's politically motivated and everyone should talk about it and we should all be liberal and save our country. Anyway, but I think there's April Rain who's really leading the way on talking about Oscars so white, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just follow all of them. Really listen to what they have to say and absorb what they have to say. And I try to listen and rather than talk, but this is just an opportunity for Giselle and I to effuse about a film that really we both loved. And coming from a very outside perspective of obviously not being from Africa, not being Black, and
yeah, once again, colonizer status.
First-hand experiences that people will have faced in their lives. And I think that's, you know, just a different perspective. And you can turn it off if you don't want to listen to it. That's okay.
Yeah. There is an article. I want to read a brief segment of it. It's an article on HuffPost.com written by Brandy Miller. And the title of the article is, "If you want to be an effective ally, be quiet and know your place." Over the past few years of movements for equality, many white people and people with privilege have sought to become allies, people who protect and speak up for those who are oppressed and marginalized. Allyship, while seemingly helpful, often devolves into focusing on white stories, diminishing the struggles of people of color. Frankly, allyship is by nature self-congratulatory and dependent on the praise of the marginalized. Wakanda had no use or praise for a special white savior. In fact, they saved the white people, which adds to what makes Black Panther so revolutionary. Void of the colonizing impulse and experience of white supremacy, Wakanda is free from the need for a white savior. Black Panther reflects this reality through its limited engagement with white people in the film, with only three white people having speaking roles, a museum employee who isn't around very long, a short-lived villain, and a CIA agent, Everett Ross, a diminutive sidekick at best. I highly recommend you guys looking up that article and reading the entire thing. The literal role of white people in this movie. Yeah, I mean, he helped, but they could have done it without him with little Bilbo there. And that's fantastic.
Well, I think it's something that we can easily view through the scope of other Marvel movies that we've seen before, mm-hmm. and how we kind of like to put people of color into these sidekick roles,
yep.
that are necessary. Yep. Barely fantastic or have a lot to do.
Yeah, because like you were saying before, I love these Marvel movies, but let's be honest, the people of color we do have in these movies, they're the sidekicks. Are they great characters? Yes. Do we love seeing them? Yes. But they are relegated to the role of sidekicks.
So let's talk about this fantastic film. And we're just comparing it to that and to those other Marvel movies, saying that those roles that they put these people of color into are problematic, and that it's great to see something that really breaks the mold and gets us out of that repeat offender, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up that article and read a segment from it is because I've noticed that a lot of white people who are responding to this movie, they bring up allyship. And so I think this article is something to refer to, where it's like, a lot of times when I feel like we want to be allies, it's to make it about ourselves. And that's what's so great about this movie. It's like we were saying before, how the story isn't for us. Once again, not about us. Don't make it about yourself.
It's like SNL did a skit that was all about these white people freaking out about Beyonce's Lemonade dropping. They were having like full on freakouts about it. And they were like, "You made something that wasn't explicitly supposed to delight me."
Yeah.
And then they're running around and like freaking out. I'm like, this is basically what this is. Like, you can listen to it and watch it and enjoy it and learn something from it, mm-hmm. but maybe it wasn't meant entirely for you.
Yeah.
And that's just such a foreign experience for white people.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Definitely. Yeah, I love that skit for that very reason. Because, yeah, that very line where she's like, "This isn't for us. What?
Maybe this isn't made for us."
Oh my God. Oh God. The turmoil.
You can enjoy it still. You can go and enjoy this movie and learn something from mm-hmm. it and listen to what Killmonger has to say and mm-hmm. listen to what T'Challa has to say and take it in and sort of understand that these are situations and trials and tribulations that we as privileged white people do not have to face or have to freaking deal with every day.
We can empathize, appreciate, and support it. But once again, this wasn't made for us. So with that being said, from our perspective of enjoying this story, enjoying another Marvel movie, I have to say, I absolutely love this movie. Just so many things about it. First of all, the visuals of this movie were stunning.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Ryan Coogler, I think we need to do a big shout out for Ryan Coogler.
Yes, absolutely.
He's the director of the film. One of the writers on it. He did an amazing job. Just, I almost want a breakdown color theory of this movie, because there's so many uses of saturated colors of purples and reds, and I feel like there's a color theory based on this film of like how it all plays out and how it all contradicts and fights each other and what it means. Like, you know, like I just felt like a deeper meaning behind all the color choices.
Absolutely. It was a visually stunning movie. Definitely visually the best of all the Marvel movies. And I know a lot of that has to do with the inspiration, the aesthetic that they created. I think they refer to it as the Afrofuturistic aesthetic.
Afrofuturism. Yep.
Yeah, Afrofuturism. And it is a beautiful aesthetic. My friends who work in costume design, like, we'll just text each other and be like, oh my God, this movie was just so beautiful. Like the costume design, just the surroundings, like it is a visually stunning film.
I do want to touch down on one thing you said about Afrofuturism, because it is something that has been around for a bit and is explored in different novels and in the comics, obviously, for Black Panther itself. So there are other venues. So if you like this story, you should probably check out the comic book, perhaps.
Yep.
Comics that the movie is based on. And then as well as a lot of novels that are written by great authors that are exploring sort of similar Afrofuturism.
My eyes were adazzled because I saw this on IMAX. I saw this on an IMAX screen. I specifically wanted to see this on an IMAX screen. And I was so glad I made that decision because, you know, I was in the theater with this huge screen and just the definition of the picture. And it was breathtaking. It is visually absolutely breathtaking.
It is. And it's a film that's like filled with just horrific actors. That's something I think that I obviously Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Angela Bassett.
And if you guys have been listening from the beginning, you know that James and I adore Angela Bassett.
You guys.
So much.
Full on storm-like dreads happening. I was like, oh, this is everything. I was into this in a big way. I was like, am I turned on? I don't know. Kinds of feelings.
Yeah, I will literally watch anything Angela Bassett is in because she is so freaking talented and amazing. And I was so excited when they were still doing the cast announcement for Black Panther. I was so excited that she was announced to be a part of it. Just been a fan of her for years. American Horror Story, Strange, ever since Strange Days.
A rock star.
Yeah.
She played just everything. Everything she does is amazing. Mm-hmm. When she played Tina Turner, I was like, oh, I'm here for you all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Twice in 5 days.
Yep.
You're fucking a rock star. She's so good. One of those people that you see on screen and she instantly just takes your attention to her. Like, you just want to watch her and then everything else is background. Everything else is background noise because she's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so just filled with just terrific actors. Danny Guerrero from Walking Dead, Lupita Nyong'o.
Actors. Amazing, phenomenal cast. And another thing I particularly loved about it was just the female characters in this were so wonderfully written. Obviously, that is a hot topic these days. Strong, like, I hate using the term strong female character, just female characters that are well written,
yes.
Complex female characters, interesting female characters. And this movie absolutely had that. And I just loved the warriors, the female warriors in this movie. They were, they were terrific. I mean, just such strength and beauty and
coordination.
Yeah.
That was cool. Like the Okoye would, like, she's the leader of the Dora Milaje. So she would slam her staff down and they would all fall into like these prepared formations. And I'm just like, this is fantastic. Like, just the film itself was just so good. I couldn't get over how well written the female characters really were.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, you look at Shuri, who's, can we talk about Shuri for like 3 hours?
Yes, yes, we can. I love her.
Shuri is Black Panther's sister, who actually was introduced in the comics somewhat recently. She's not been a long time player in the comic books, but obviously has made her presence known. Thank you. And she, she is, their relationship together is what really just makes me so happy. Like, they're such a brother and sister. And I was like, I'm in love with you. Like, this is great. This is amazing.
She was so, for one thing, she was just this delightful character. Like, you just want to like hang out with her because she's funny and charming. And also, I really loved the part she played in Wakandan society. She is a scientist. She is a brilliant female scientist. And I thought that was so freaking cool. Cause like she was smart and she's an inventor. She's like this badass inventor. And I'm like, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah. She's smarter than T'Challa is.
Yeah. She's smart. Oh yeah. She's the smart one.
She is the smart one.
Yeah.
I don't want to downplay T'Challa though. Like I do want to talk about the women for like a year, mm-hmm. but I want to talk about T'Challa briefly because I think he's a really interesting character. And I think that he's not really a blank slate, but he's sort of our lead into this world that we're so unfamiliar with. So he's sort of a great entryway character, I should say, to what's going on. Because he's sort of like becoming king. He's becoming like officially Black Panther. The power is taken away. He's being challenged for the throne. And then he's given back the power. Like there's a really great sort of like sequence of events and we're getting really familiarized with this world that we have no familiarity with. And it's great.
And and the movie did such a great job because this isn't an origin story movie, but as far as the first Solo movie, and not just that, but like you were saying, this is our introduction, our proper introduction to Wakanda. Yeah. And they did such an amazing job of not just establishing his own hero's journey that he had to go through, but also introducing us to this world. Like this movie had a lot to tackle when you think about it. And like when you step back and think about it, this movie had to tackle so much. And it did it beautifully. It reintroduced us to T'Challa. We learned more about him. We learn about this entirely new place, which it's almost like a different world because obviously it has this advanced technology. It's been hidden from the world. So all these new concepts and ideas to introduce us to Wakandan society. And on top of Killmonger, who we'll talk about a little more later, who was another amazing freaking character. This movie and story had so much to tackle, and it did it beautifully.
And I think, you know, exploring T'Challa's relationship with his sister, which is really, really important, and his mother, which is fabulous, mm-hmm. and his father, who we get to see in a dream sequence, which is beautifully filmed. Oh. Just the colors, the saturation. Mm-hmm. I can talk about the colors in this film, the purples.
Oh, right?
Which are just unbelievable and just fabulous, and like the panthers and the tree. I could not get enough. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see it again. I'm going to see it again in theaters because it is kind of a sight to behold. It's sort of amazing.
It really is a visual. I mean, oh my gosh, it is just so visually stunning. So yeah, on top of introducing us to this world, it is a feast for the eyes.
The story that they're tackling is pretty deep, and like everything that they kind of have to, and the things they have to explain and exposit about the system of of Wakanda, and like how there's different tribes, and how mm-hmm. each tribe could basically challenge T'Challa to the right to have the throne of Wakanda. Mm-hmm. So he basically oversees these different tribes. And then he has his ex-girlfriend, who's Lupita Nyong'o, who is Nakia, and she is great. She challenges him, but she's smart. She has her own set goals and aspirations and drive. And it's sort of like some of the things that we kind of miss out on some of the other female characters in past mm-hmm. Marvel movies. And
what I really appreciate about this movie is they weren't just there to be emotional support to cheer on T'Challa. That wasn't their sole purpose for being there. There was conflict in these characters, their own motivations. And with Lupita Nyong'o's character, the fact that she's the one that says, you know, maybe we should help outside of Wakanda. Like she was the one who suggested it in the first place, which I love that she was the one that said, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Maybe we should do something about it. You know,
and even in Africa, like not just like outside of Africa, but like outside of Wakanda. Like,
yeah.
All these girls are being taken and enslaved and like used against their will for different, whatever.
Horrible like, purposes.
Horrible purposes. We'll just leave it at that. We can probably draw our own conclusions as to what they're being used for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and Nakia is a really freaking awesome character in the way she's sort of like, I don't want to just be a queen. I don't want to sit on a throne and pretend we're doing good and like be your little pretty woman and not get anything done. That's not what I'm within doing.
Right.
And I really, really love and respect that about her. And she definitely had her own set of things, and she was a spy, and she had her own set of goals that she wanted to have accomplished.
Yeah, her character had agency.
Yes.
Which I hate to say, but that is something typically lacking in female characters in the previous Marvel movies. There have been moments like Lady Sif, you know, she is probably one of my favorite female characters in the
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie.
wonderful example.
Wonderful, yeah.
Very recent.
But again, that's a very recent one.
You're going from Jane Foster to Valkyrie, you know, like, or I mean, Jane Foster to Nakia. Let's do it that way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think Nakia is our newest example of what a female character can look like if she has to play off of the main male character. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll have ourselves some main female characters soon, and men can take a backseat to that. So I'm ready for Captain Marvel any day.
Yeah,
that's what I'm here for. I'm also here for like a lot of Dora Milaje solo film.
Oh my gosh.
Or like, Joshi Yoshitani from Twitter had a brilliant idea. She's an illustrator. Look her up. She's fabulous. She wanted to do, she's like, oh, they should do a Dora Milaje Netflix series. Yeah. So it's a training of Dora Milaje. And in the last episode, like whoever's not into the physical fighting, but is showing prowess in science gets recruited by Shuri. So in the last episode, you have Shuri come in. And then that girl shows up in the next movie. And I was like, this is brilliant.
I would love that. That would be such an amazing story. I've always, you know, just as a viewer, I've always leaned towards female characters, like I was saying before, complex female characters, especially when they're warriors. You know, I think because, I mean, you cannot deny the badassery of that. You simply cannot. Like with Mad Max Fury Road, obviously Furiosa is the love of my life. And I grew up watching Buffy and Xena and Furiosa, which, of course, I got to point out, all white women. All white women. You know, we got to keep working on that as far as not making that the mold. I've always been drawn to not just complex, but also just women who are confident in their own strength, but also complex and still people and flawed. And oh my gosh, the women in this movie were just freaking amazing. And if they made that show, I would be all about it. I would watch it at midnight.
I love that idea. I was like, that's brilliant, Yoshi. You need to like trademark that, figure out some way to get involved.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of girl crushing on all of those fabulous warriors in Black Panther because they were just fantastic. And they look like badasses. I would be like, don't mess with them. No.
Okay. So can we talk about that scene when they go, I know we're skipping around a little bit, you guys, but just go see the movie. It'll make more sense. And then we come back.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where they go to like this underground casino.
Oh my God.
I loved that scene. I think that might be one of my favorite scenes that they have done, like fight scene wise in a really long time. It felt tight. It felt claustrophobic. It felt, but like in a really good way. And you can tell what everyone was doing.
Right.
Koye just looked, the actress's name is Dana Guerrera, who's from Walking Dead, who's just amazing. She's great. And a great writer and director. A bird stage. She's great. And I love the part where she throws her wig.
Yes.
At the guy, like she's just like, ugh, like rejecting the whole idea of being part of anyone else's society except for Wakanda. Like she is Wakandan. That's what she is. That's who she is. That's how you take her or you leave her. And she doesn't give a rat's ass. And I loved every minute of it.
Yep.
He knew, like, she had the dress on for fighting. She was like, what if this all goes to hell? I have my right dress on. So my dress is ready for fighting, and she's fabulous. She's like I think she's my favorite character from that movie. Except, I mean, Shuri.
I think Shuri's mine because I love Shuri.
I think those two are very close for me.
It's hard because so many fantastic, especially with the female characters. Oh my God! But yeah, I love that moment too because when she was just like, "Screw this wig, this is stupid."
And
you can tell she was kind of relieved, like, oh, I can take this stupid thing off now. Like, she was kind of happy, like, I can stop with this ridiculous charade now. I can take off my...
Yeah,
that casino, and that's another thing about this movie, is the fight scenes were amazing. Like, I'm a total fight choreography fanatic. Because to me, it's no different from a pas de deux. A well-choreographed fight scene is just as good as a pas de deux. That's two people dancing in ballet, by the way. If you're like, what the hell is she saying? I'm sorry, guys. I used to take ballet way back in the day. So, yeah. But I love a beautifully filmed and a beautifully choreographed fight scene. And this movie absolutely delivered in that regard. The fight scenes were incredible, especially the one in the casino, in the underground casino, was so freaking cool. I was nerding out so hard in the theater. I was like, this is freaking amazing. And also the fight scene between Killmonger and T'Challa, both of them, especially like the first one when they're facing off with
in the water.
In the water.
Yes.
Oh yeah. With the water, visually amazing. Cause the water just added this excellent element visually to it.
When he picked him up too and threw him off of the waterfall.
Yeah.
Like so good, you guys.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Just yeah. Like, oh, the child is beaten, but look how pretty it all looks.
I know, right? Like, this is actually supposed to be a sad moment in the story. I know. It's like, this is actually supposed to be kind of a sad moment, but look how pretty it is. It's so pretty.
I was like, I'm sorry, I'm devastated right now. What's happening? So, oh, let's talk about Eric Killmonger.
Yes.
A little bit. I want to talk about more of the women, but we'll circle back.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the men a little bit more, I guess.
Oh, let's talk about the dudes, I suppose. Eric Killmonger was such a good villain. Absolutely an intriguing character. And what makes him such an interesting character is it's all about perspective. Because he is argued by, I'm not the one to come up with this idea. I want to say that first and foremost. There's some wonderful commentary that has argued that his character is representative of revolutionaries who have had to make some incredibly tough choices.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's pretty clear in the storytelling that they chose to take. And you know, he was basically enlisted in our service, in our military service, mm-hmm. the U.S.'s military service, to kill a lot of people. So it's not say like there is no black and white here. There's no like clear cut villains, good guys. There's no bad guys, good guys in this situation. There's just like strokes of gray, mm-hmm. and everyone's sort of just dealing with what level of gray we're in. But this, I think, is really the best and the most empathetic that you could feel towards a villain that they've done basically ever. I think he might even be a more empathetic villain than Loki. I think he might really just be up there.
No, I completely agree. He is absolutely the best villain we've had since Loki. Because before Black Panther came out and before Killmonger, Loki is the most interesting villain we've ever had in a Marvel movie. Hands down. Definitely empathetic. Because even though Loki has done some despicable, awful, terrible things, you know, like murdering a bunch of people in New York, etc., etc., you can't help but kind of feel for this guy, you know? Because he was the overshadowed one. His dad did him dirty by lying to him his entire life and treating him as a second-class citizen to his brother. So you can't help but feel for the guy. With that being said, with Black Panther coming out, Eric Killmonger, I think, is up there, if not surpassing Loki, as far as an interesting and complex, I don't even want to say villain, I'll say adversary to the main character.
Antagonist.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting is that he he obviously brings up a really good point. And I think at the end of the movie, T'Challa is confronted with his own reality, basically, and that mm-hmm. he has to now step foot outside of Wakanda and think about a global scale and how to help out the world more than he was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Nakia, and I think both of those points of view and perspectives are what's going to push him. Nakia was right. That's mm-hmm. what we need. We need a shirt that says Nakia was right. And Eric Killmonger tried. That's what that shirt needs to say. And I liked him a lot. And Michael B. Jordan's portrayal of Killmonger, I thought, was tremendous. I thought he did a really good job, and he looked amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Now, definitely cannot complain. Talking about the visuals of the
movie. On a visual level, Michael B. Jordan is hot.
Yeah, you're an attractive man, sir. If for some reason you've stumbled across this podcast,
there's no way in hell.
No way in hell. But just in case, we appreciate you for your talent and the fact that you. Yeah. Wait, what?
What?
What? What?
Thanks.
What? Anyway, but from a less shallow perspective, but really, Killmonger, and I'm saying this from the perspective of someone who has never had to deal with this kind of oppression in my entire life. With that being said, I couldn't help but be intrigued by and empathize with Killmonger's character, because when he talks about what he had to deal with growing up, you feel for him, what he had to deal with. He heard of this like fairy tale place where he has never had to deal with the oppression or the injustice that he and fellow Black people of not just America, but of the world, those injustices, like, they've never had to deal with that. And so he grew up with this fairy tale, knowing that it was just beyond his reach for most of his life. And like you were saying, he's such an amazing actor that when he's talking about it, even though it's his pretty much the equivalent to his "This is my evil plan" speech, you know, he's giving that speech, but you feel for this guy. Holy shit. Like, I literally cannot, nor will I ever be able to truly imagine what that's like, but it's in a riveting moment in the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think he did a tremendous job, and I think the writing supported it. I think the writing for all the characters is the strongest I've seen from Marvel basically ever. I mean, Thor Ragnarok had really strong writing in its own way, but I think this one really, in a real world sort of sense, had mm-hmm. very strong, not a singular message, but a very strong message, and had a lot of points of view for what that message was going to be mm-hmm. and how T'Challa is going to go and have an arc
yeah.
and learn and have this experience and then come out of it in a different way than how he started, which is really the point of following this story. Although we get some great, I don't want to say secondary characters, but we get some great supporting cast, great other characters that we're introduced mm-hmm. to.
It was an amazing ensemble cast. Because, yeah, I hate using the term secondary characters. Because
I hate it too. And I'm like, supporting...
No, it's
their support. They're, you know, it's like the technical term is supporting characters, but they're not. Like, I mean, they're supporting. They're supportive.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had a lot more to do than just be there to support the main character.
Right.
They had perspective and their own points of view and their own mission statements and their own agency, like you were saying before. And mm-hmm. we say it so carefully, I think, because a lot of them are women. And women are so used to being put into these positions of being just support.
Right.
For the male. And I think we need to be cognizant of that. And this is a nice step in a direction where they're not just doing that all the time.
Exactly. And this is something I just adored about this movie so much were the female characters. Just amazing, strong, complex. I know, like, the whole strong female character thing, I try to avoid saying that phrase, but these, let's face it, these women did happen to be strong, like most, the majority of them, because they were warriors, which is so cool, and intelligent with Shuri. And it wasn't just, oh, we happen to have this one awesome female character. There were multiple. And so often as an audience, I feel like we're deprived of that. Multiple, various female characters who have all these different traits. And yes. This movie, I think, really spoiled us. And I mean that in a positive way. It really spoiled us.
The bar is high now.
Yeah, Marvel. The bar is high.
Very fucking high. Mm-hmm. So don't be coming up in here and, like, doing some real crappy, non-intersectional freaking writing and display of bullshit with Captain Marvel. We better have some women of color up in that piece. We better have some men of color. Mm-hmm. We better have some real exploration of these different characters that you're going to have in Infinity War. I mean, you raised the bar to a certain level, mm-hmm. so now you just have to keep hitting that level at the very least, mm-hmm. or continue to raise the bar.
And for those of you who may not know, the character of Black Panther was, of course, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. And so something I wanted to point out and recognize was how important and amazing it was. This movie was not only written by, but also directed by men of color. And how absolutely fucking important that is. And like you were saying before, Ryan Coogler was one of the writers, as was Joe Robert Cole. So just wanted to give a shout out to those guys and say, what an amazing job you did, because you gave us these extraordinary female characters and you tackled an impossible task of setting up a story to introduce us, to truly introduce us to this character, while also introducing us to this new world, pretty much.
And, you know, I mean, all of these, all Marvel movies could probably take a good 30-minute edit out of a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I think in this particular case, I think we almost needed it. We almost needed it because it was such a new experience and such a new exploration of, like, the different tribes and the different mm-hmm. experiences and different worlds and the different, like, which, what each character is sort of doing and why mm-hmm. they're doing it. And, like, there's a lot to learn. There's, like, a real learning curve for the audience to go on. And for me, I was, like, all hands on deck, ready to, like, mm-hmm. take a lesson in Wakanda and visit and not overstay my colonizer welcome.
Exactly. Because, yeah.
Got it.
Absolutely. It's like, okay, we'll go now. Okay.
Yeah. I was just happy to have had the experience.
Yeah. We were guests. We were actually, I like that you said that because we got to be guests to this experience. Yeah. And we're happy that we got to be guests, but now we will back away and be like, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. We are not going to overstep our bounds.
Overstay our welcome.
Yeah, overstay our welcome. We're not going to be those people. Thank you for letting us be guests. And yeah.
The white boy that Jerry needs to heal, I'm out. Like, I understand. We are the worst.
Yeah. And same with white women. It's like, yeah, we're kind of the worst too sometimes. So I get it. Colonizer out.
Colonizer out. So no, I think it's a great, great film. So if you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't know if you're waiting for like a handwritten invitation, but it's not coming. So get off your ass and go see the film.
Yeah, go see it because it's an amazing story.
Yeah. Oh, we should talk about Mbaku.
Really? Oh my God. Thank you. Yes. I knew I was forgetting something. Oh my God. I loved him.
Sorry, guys. We almost forgot about Mbaku, which is fucking bonkers because I think he might be one of the runaway successes of this movie. He is funny. He is a vegetarian.
Oh, yeah. <It's> like, and so charming. And
so charming and beefy.
Yeah, I'm really
for a vegetarian. I loved it.
But, okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I knew that there was another point or something else I wanted to highlight. That was something I did not expect. Going to this movie, I did have certain expectations like, okay, just based upon reviews and what people have been saying, I know I'm going to enjoy, you know, female characters, everything we've been saying, visually, blah, 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 blah. But then I see it and I'm like, I love this character.
Like, who is this?
Like, who's this guy? I freaking love this guy.
Yeah. And then I think everyone's kind of walked away from it kind of saying the same thing. I mean, obviously, we all said the same thing about the females and Shuri and falling in love with Shuri and T'Challa, like, hanging out, and Nakia, and Okoye, and Nakia, and Ramonda, like, we love Andor Milaj, forget about it. But, this Mbaku person just kind of crept up on all of us, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, it was like this unsuspecting character who didn't get that much screen time, but he totally, like, stole our hearts.
He totally. I was like, all right, I'm good. This is great.
Yeah, because he's the character they have to go to when the all hope is lost part of the movie. You know, we always get to that part, the all hope is lost part. So they have to
You've hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
And now you figure out how to save the world.
Yeah,
basically.
Pretty much. And they go to him, and I love how he just kind of fucks with them. But then he's like, I'll help you guys, but I'm going to, like, mess with you guys.
The part was him saying, we're going to feed you to my children. And then he's like, we're all vegetarians.
Just, like, scaring the crap out of Martin Freeman. And, of course, because you can tell, you could just, like, I love how Martin Freeman was just like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. This is how I die.
How I die. And then he's like, we're vegetarians. We're not going to eat.
But yeah, so a shout out to Winston Duke, who played that character, because what a lovely surprise. Just this character who you thought was just going to be this like tiny adversary and get his ego hurt. But at the end of the day, he supports his king in Wakanda.
That's
he was
true.
Loyal. At the end of the day, he was very loyal. So yeah, obviously we adore this movie. So many things to adore about this movie. I swear we're going to get to that post-credits Marvel moment in a sec. We just want to make sure we covered everything.
Amazing.
Yeah.
One time, Ramonda was amazing. Angela Bassett is beautiful. She should have played Storm 20 years ago. Her hair looks amazing.
Yeah.
I love her.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw her with that beautiful white hair, internally, I was like, It's just low-key Storm. It's just low-key Storm.
Seriously, I was like, I texted my mom after, or I think I turned to my best friend who I saw the movie with, or like a group of us saw it, and I was like, She has storm hair. And he was like, you're a freak. Basically verbatim. But yeah. I mean, he loved the movie. We all love the movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like just obsessed with her. Well, because I mean, she was always my first pick for Storm ever since the first film came out.
Same.
I don't understand Angela Bassett, but I mean, I can understand Halle Berry, and that's fine. That was a choice. It wasn't the right choice. It was a choice. The hair that they did for her just made me think Storm.
I'd like to think that was for those of us, because there's a lot of us, many of us out there who wanted Angela Bassett for Storm. And I'd like to think that that was low key for us.
Like a shout out.
Yeah.
A small, private, little low key shout out to all of us Angela Bassett Storm worshippers.
Yeah.
Angela Bassett Storm worshippers!
So, also, I love the mid credits scene. Because, of course, T'Challa's experience with Killmonger finally made him realize we do need to do something. Maybe not the way Killmonger wanted to do it, but they have to do something. So I love that scene when they're having the press conference and, you know, this, like, white interviewer dude is like, well, what exactly does Wakanda have to offer? Isn't it, like, a third world country? And you just see him kind of smile like, wait, you just wait. But I just love the smirk on his, and I think Shuri is there with him. I'm so sorry. It may not be Shuri. It may be
Oye and Nakia are there.
Okay.
But and it looks fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's wearing this beautiful scarf number. Oh. He's like what is that? I want 10 of them, and I want them all. I want them all. Like I was like, these are beautiful. Anyway, sorry.
No. But no, I just love that moment because, of course, you have this arrogant guy and they're like, well, isn't Wakanda a third world country? What could they possibly have to offer us? And just the looks on their faces like, just wait, asshole. You just wait.
Oh, honey. Like, I just like start ripping out like some Trixie Mattel real quick. Be like, honey. Honey. Like, draggy. Be great. No, they shouldn't have done that, but I wanted them to. In my head, they were.
Right, in your head, they were totally.
Yeah.
It was just so great, because throughout the entire experience of this movie, because I think the tragic adversary that was Killmonger, it's such an incredible, complex character that, and you know it's a good villain when he makes you reflect and think, and even question the motives of the hero, when you go, well, he has a point, dude, he's got a point.
He is, he's like the sort of like the Magneto a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that. He stands on his own. He's his own guy. But yeah, there's like this like Magneto empathy feeling that you get. Like, oh, you were a survivor of the Holocaust. That's, yeah. Like you're coming from it like, we have to take the offense before these people decide to round us all up again.
Yeah. And these characters are retaliating the injustices they've had to experience growing up. And that's what makes them interesting characters, because not only because they are complex adversaries that challenge a protagonist, but also as an audience member, it makes you think and reflect and go, they have a point. They have a point. You can't really, when you find yourself saying, you kind of can't blame this guy, that's when you know it's an interesting character.
Totally. And you can totally empathize, and you can see a situation in which you too would want to do the same actions that he has done. Some of them. To, you know, get to where he feels that he can take revenge and action against all of these injustices he's had to face throughout his whole life. And I think that was really powerful with him. And I think that the final scene with him saying, just throw me in the water, like all of my fellow ancestors.
I know exactly. Actually, I'm going to quote it right now because it was...
It is beautiful and upsetting.
Yeah, well, upsetting because of the truth behind it.
No, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, his character's final words are, bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships because they knew death was better than bondage.
Ugh, chills and started crying from that. I was like, immediately in the theater, I was like, oh no.
Well, because it was... It was a powerful way to end his character, because you could really argue that his character was a revolutionary.
Yep.
Yeah, so the fact that up until his end, he stood by his principles. I reiterate that since this is an experience that will always be alien to me, it was a powerful moment, but I also recognize, like, this does speak to me, but I know that it doesn't speak to me in the way it most likely is speaking to so many other people right now. So it was a wonderful, powerful moment and beautifully written and acted and performed.
Oh, that last line was killer.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. So shall we get to that post-credits scene?
Yeah, I think we touched on everything, but I keep stopping us. But I love this movie so much. Kudos to all the actors who are...
Yeah. Kudos to the director, both writers, all the actors, seriously, the visual effects artists, done. Well done.
Let's talk about it. Go ahead.
So, of course, there is a post-credit scene, naturally. We see this like little tent, this tent, and then emerging from the tent is none other than...
Love of my...
Wait, what?
What?
Is our Bucky.
Winter Soldier!
Winter Soldier!
And then Shuri is there.
Yeah!
Because there's not enough scenes with Shuri in this movie. That's what I can say, is that Shuri's in it a lot. And I'm still like, oh, yeah, I want more of her.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be in Infinity War, by the way, guys.
Oh my God, yes.
Yay!
Yay!
Shuri. I want her to. Oh, so I want Shuri to have a team up with Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and then for them to meet Kamala Harris, who is Ms. Marvel, and they all team up and they fight evil together. I don't know the story. It doesn't matter. They're amazing.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kamala Khan or Kamala.
Kamala Khan. Yeah, okay. I said Kamala Khan. I said Kamala Harris.
No, just because I was like, is there another Kamala character?
You made it too, because Kamala Harris is amazing. Kamala Khan is Ms. Marvel. Kamala Harris is not Ms. Marvel. But yeah, Kamala Khan, Shuri, and Peter Parker.
That'd be fun.
You're welcome, Marvel.
Damn it, Marvel. Do it, Marvel. But yeah, this was a cool post-credit scene because the arm is gone, the evil arm. Has ceased to be. It's gone. And you finally, after all these movies of angsty eyeliner, not complaining by the way, but angsty eyeliner, long, messy hair, Sebastian Stan, which is not ever bad, he looks so peaceful and happy.
Yeah. I'm sort of surprised they haven't built him some sort of like vibranium arm or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they did. But maybe they're like, oh, but you need to chill out some more before you get your vibranium.
Yeah, we need to, like, do some more therapy before we give you a weaponized arm.
Yeah, because I'm not dealing with you again, Shuri says.
Yeah.
And grabs her panther arm things that shoot wave blasts.
Oh, it's so cool. Oh, the weapons. Oh, the weapon technology in this movie was so freaking cool. I was intrigued because, obviously, Bucky Barnes and his angst and his struggle has been a huge part of his character. So we're going to see a new Bucky, you guys. Yeah. He seems like super zen.
Maybe there'll be a Bucky that can like hang out with Black Widow and they could have a Black Widow movie and Bucky could be in it. I don't want like a Black Widow and Winter Soldier movie. That's unacceptable. Don't do that, Marvel. Don't play that game. Black Widow and Winter Soldier can guest star in it. He can be like, he can be a supporting player.
Right.
He could show up. He could show up in a towel with no arm. Right. That's not that. You can have a metal arm on. I'm not against having him with no arm. That's okay, too.
Yeah, because I'm just happy that Sebastian Stan is in these movies at all.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they're missing out on an opportunity to cast him as a young Luke Skywalker, though, and they need to get on that.
They
that
do.
Pretty much exactly like Mark Hamill. It's bonkers.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, interesting post-credit scene because we're alluding to a new Bucky, Shuri's involvement, the fact that he and Shuri, obviously now they know each other and she's helping out, and it just opens up a world of possibilities. So excellent post-credit scene, Marvel. Yep. Well done.
Well, he's definitely going to be in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah. No question there.
Yeah. So, like, she's obviously going to help him come back from, or him, she and mm-hmm. Black Panther will help a little bit.
Yeah.
But Shuri mostly.
Yeah.
Will help him come back into the action for Infinity War, I think.
So,
he's going to have a cool new vibranium arm.
Ooh, yes, yes.
That looked very much like his old arm, except it might have like purple in it or purple piping.
Ooh, that'd be pretty.
That'd be pretty. And very Wakandan. We're like climb back to the Wakanda of it all.
All right. I'm sure there are other things we're going to think of later that we'll want to say. But for now, I think this is our Black Panther discussion.
It was so good. Oh, I did want to touch down on the fight sequence in the train, which was awesome.
Oh, my God.
And the fact that, like, T'Challa's in a purple suit for Black Panther and Eric Killmonger is in a yellow gold suit for Black Panther, which I'm sure has... Again, color theory, you guys. There has to be something there. I want like a whole breakdown from Ryan Coogler. Like, what was the thought process behind the color theory? He may not be storyboard artist. Whoever was involved, help me out.
Help us.
I'm freaking out. But yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
I love that.
So thoughtfully made.
So, rating system wise, how many Black Panthers do you give this?
Out of 5. I'm going to say 4.5 out of 5, just because I know there's a 4-hour cut out there that, and I'm sure when I see, just cause I want to see more. So yeah. Yeah, it's only because it's like, I want to see more. So give me more. Sure. So yeah.
I'll give you another quarter star if you give me more Shuri.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More Shuri, more stars.
More Shuri, more Black Panthers.
Yeah.
Whatever. What's our rating system? I don't know.
We make it up every week.
Doesn't matter. Oh, Black Panthers. I think I'd probably give it, 4.25 Black Panthers. 4, like, it's very close to 4.5. I don't know. I'll say 4.5 Black Panthers, too.
Okay.
It's a freaking awesome film.
Yeah.
I think, all of them, they could be edited a little bit more, and more Shuri.
Yeah, more Shuri. Just more Shuri.
Just more Shuri.
So, yeah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Let us know your thoughts, as per usual. And yep. And we hope you have an amazing week.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. This is James again, giving you the heads up that I Am Hexed, the Kickstarter that I'm the editor on, is still up and still looking for your wondrous donations. if you like witches and politics and mysteries and thrillers, you'll absolutely love it. It's so much fun, and it's a great parallel to what's happening in our society now, where the world is slowly burning. So you can find it at iamhexed.com. Once again, iamhexed.com. Thank you so much. See you next time.